Listen live with Mornings with Michelle, presented by Southwest Boulder and Stone, talking about the landscape industry's hottest topics, designs, and guides directly to you.
Good morning. My name is Michelle McLeod, and I want to welcome you to our show, Mornings with Michelle, produced by Southwest Boulder and Stone. It's about 11 o'clock on Friday, March 25th, 2016, and I want to start with an upbeat story, a great story from last week. I'm a dog person. I think you know that. I have 5 golden retrievers. Call me crazy, but I do. But this one's a story about a guy who lost his German Shepherd, fell off his fishing boat in the middle of the night, about 2 miles off San Clemente, and the dog was presumed dead. Her owner looked for her for 2 full days, no luck. I mean, a German Shepherd is a thinker, not a swimmer for a dog. And this was middle of the night, middle of the sea, middle of the ocean, middle of nowhere. And about a month later, he gets a call from the Navy on San Clemente that says that they found a thin dog and that she'd been living on rodents and dead fish, and she was finally on her way home. And I think that's just a great story. So, last week we talked about gravel. This morning we're going to discuss installing a dry stream bed. And the question gets raised a lot on our live chat. How and why do you install a dry stream bed? How do you build it? What material do you use? How much material do you use? How long does it take to make it? And obviously the cost. One of the questions people ask is, why does someone install a dry stream bed in their front yard? And there's really 2 things. It's either form or functionality. From a form perspective, you're adding a visual point, a focal point for the aesthetic aspect. Your eye is drawn to the movement of the stream. From a functionality point of view, you can direct water away from the house. You can control water discharge. It can be a water dissipator. One of the things you really need to do before you do anything is to stand back and look at the area that you're where you're planning to install the stream. If you work like I do, you might want to have opinions and suggestions from your family. I work via committee because my eye may look at something differently than yours or your kids' eyes. Okay, this brings up Batman. When you look at a Batman logo, what do you see on a t-shirt? Do you see? You obviously see a black Batman in a yellow background. But for some reason, my eyes see it differently. I see a huge black mouth with 2 yellow teeth on the top and 4 yellow teeth on the bottom. I don't ever see Batman or any bat thing. So again, beauty is just depend on your perspective. It's in the eye of the beholder. So our desire is to have a beautiful design. Some of the things we have to think about before we start really designing is that water flows downhill. It flows through the path of least resistance. So your stream should run downhill at a minimal pitch, a mild slope. If you're going to use your stream bed to collect and dissipate runoff, then you obviously have to think about where it will discharge the water. And a hint is you don't want it to discharge at your front door. So spend some time on the design and the build. Do not build and then design. That's what we usually do at our house. And when you build and design, the projects are never finished because you're always redoing something. Trust me, I know from experience. So assess your own situation. You can look online for finished stream beds that you like and ones that you don't like. You can even start your design of your stream bed and run it from beneath a bush, curve it around a tree, run it from one side to the other, and build a bridge over your normal pathway. Each yard has a unique application, but the finished product needs to fit your situation. It's got to be from a perspective that works for you. There are 2 types of stream beds that we're going to talk about. One is a natural version, and the other one is a stylized version. And what do I mean by that? Let's talk first about the natural type. Seldom do streams run in a straight line. I mean, look at any aerial view of a river, and you're going to see a meandering S-curve. It's going to be sinuous, kind of like a snake's footprint. Well, snakes don't have feet, but, a snake's pathway. In your design, be creative. Give it some turns. Don't just do a half-round pipe. You know, put some of your own personality into it. Make some parts wider than others. You can do a smaller pool, sort of a round pool on one side, like in a normal stream, natural stream bed where the water might pool. make it only about 2 foot wide, whereas the rest of the stream bed can be about 3 foot wide. Make it a lazy, peaceful, natural creek bed. The natural part is the most important thing. A tip on outlining the path you're going to use is to, you can use paint to do it. You can use flour. I actually like flour because it's cheaper and more friendly, but it's not permanent. So if it rains, you're going to lose your markings. And here's something else that's fun to do with flour. It's Easter time, right? When my kids were young, the Easter Bunny would always visit us on Easter and would leave a basket at the front door. Even though we never saw him, we knew he'd come because he left his footprints on the front porch, one paw after another in a pattern that came from the bushes to the front door and back again. And if you didn't believe in the Easter Bunny, you might think that I had cut out a piece of cardboard with a bunny footprint and then sifted flour over it, one print at a time, over and over, from the bushes all the way to the front door and back again. The kids still talk about it, and they're 30. Okay, back to stream beds. Most stream beds contain varying sizes of stone, from the smallest gravel up to boulders. Sometimes the boulders sit along the edge. Sometimes they sit in the middle. Normally they're grouped in threes. And remember, they need to be buried. You can't have them just sitting right on top. So that's sort of a natural version. Let's talk about a stylized version. The stylized version of a stream bed is a much more modern look with true edge restraints that really confine and hold the cobbles. Think of a canal. That's kind of what a stylized stream bed looks like. It's very linear, can be very exacting in its width. You generally use the same size cobbles. And sometimes it's even used as a delineator or a separator in a garden. You can put plantings of one kind on one side and turf on the other. It's not as common or as popular as a natural stream bed, but it can be done. Okay, let's move on how we actually start the making of the stream bed. First, we start out by excavating. You dig out the area. Actually, the best idea is to invite your friends over for a barbecue and have them help you dig it out, because it's quite a bit of work. You're going to dig down 12 inches down to 18 inches, and you can do it mechanically or you can do it by shovel, a hand shovel. The shape should be concave, sort of scooped out in the middle, and the excess dirt that comes out of the middle gets piled on either side of what's the shoreline, essentially, of the stream bed. Be sure to watch out or mark any irrigation pipes, because tearing a live pipe out of the ground is not fun. And they're almost always where you don't think they're going to be. The next step is to lay fabric down. You lay the weed barrier fabric down after the dirt has been tamped and sort of compacted. Be aware, though, that weed barrier fabric is just a fabric. It does not prevent weeds. It minimizes them, but you're definitely going to get weeds growing up through the weed barrier fabric. They do grow faster if you allow litter, leaf litter, and dirt to get in between the cobbles. So really, somehow, whether you use a blower or a rake, you know what a rake is? One of those long-handled things with tines? Use a rake. Most people use a blower, but a rake is just as good. After you lay the fabric down, then you anchor it with pins or with heavier cobbles, and then you're pretty much ready to install the stone. In a natural stream bed, you're going to use rounded cobble almost invariably. Degree of roundness of cobble depends on how far it's moved down river and also if it's been moved glacially. But in a real stream bed, you are going to use round material. You can use sort of flattened material, but it generally almost always has rounded edges. Cobble sizes come in a 1 inch to 3 inch, 3 inch to 6 inch, an 8 inch to 12 inch, all these different mixtures. If you look at the side view of a stream bed, what you would see is along the bottom edge, you'd see the smaller material, maybe the 1 inch, the 1 to 3 inch material. And then as you go up along the sides, you would do the 4 to 8 inch. And then up at the very top, you would see the larger pieces. So if you did boulders, they would be up at the top edge, probably 12 inch to 18 inch. And remember, any of the larger pieces would be installed before you do any of the smaller cobbles, just because they're harder to move around. Granite gets heavy fast. It's 165 pounds per cubic foot for granite. An easy way, if there is one, to install the stone is to have all the cobble dumped in the middle of the piles, the middle of the stream bed, and then to hand select the larger pieces out, moving them up along the sides of the stream bed. So the smaller pieces basically are there where they're dumped, and the other piece, larger pieces are moved. Another thought, a don't in my mind, is to don't line the edges of the stream bed with all exactly the same size cobble. Then it just looks so man-made. It just looks like a chain of beads. Mother Nature has a lot of variability in her, so do that. And if you're going to use a boulder, bury the boulders, as I said. And then one other thing that you can actually do is to, the headwaters of a stream is basically where the water originates. You can use a big boulder at the very top of the stream bed as if it were the headwaters, as if the water were coming out of it. And that's something else you can do, another variable, is you can add a plank or a slab as a sort of as a bridge over the stream bed. Or you can use an irregular stepping stone in the middle of the stream bed for ease of walking over the rock and not through it, which is a much better idea. Okay, next is going to be quantities and cost. What you're going to need, how much you're going to need, and the cost. For a natural stream bed that about 12 foot long and about 3 foot wide and 6 inches deep, you're going to need about 1 ton, which is about 2,000 pounds of mixed cobble. So if you're going to make it 24 foot, it's going to be 2 tons. If you're going to make it 36 foot, it's going to be 3 tons. All of the material you use will vary depending on how deep you install it. But I think this is a point where you should know when to save and know when to splurge. You definitely want to splurge on the pieces that catch your eye, the focal points, the boulders. And you can save maybe by using a little bit less of the actual cobble or the gravel. Also, color and cost of the different cobble mixes. There's two very cost-effective. One of them is the Mission cobble, which is sort of a multicolor, warm, earth-toned cobble. It's $81 a ton. And then the Sierra, which is a gray and white, which people call it granite, but these are all granite. Gray and white, that's about $82 a ton. The Arizona cobble is sort of a multicolor, warm, it has pinks and grays in it. And it's $98 a ton. And then the last one I have here is the Santa Fe, which is a mixture of gray and beige, and it's $159 a ton. It's toward the other end, the higher end. And then all of these materials, you can add boulders to each of these mixtures, and that will obviously increase the cost. But it's, again, splurge on the ones that are important and save on the ones that are not so important. Lastly, to finish, you have to add plants along the edge for color. But remember that if you have a 12-inch cobble or a boulder, 18-inch boulder, you don't want to put a huge plant next to it because you're going to lose it. I think if you are sticking with the smaller material, the lower light material, I would stick with something like a sedum, something that stays low, any plant that stays compact. Because in 2 years' time, a 1 gallon plant is going to be a 5 gallon plant. It's a good time to be working outdoors. It's not excruciatingly hot, but it is mild and pleasant, so go for it. A couple things in closing. I want to go over some of the events we have coming up. On Saturday and Sunday, April 2nd and 3rd, there's a self-guided tour of 40 gardens in Los Angeles put on by the Theodore Payne Foundation for Wildflowers and Native Plants. And each of these 40 gardens is composed of more than 50% native plants, which is wonderful. Okay, there's also a San Diego Hort Society tour on Saturday, April 2nd, and a Desert Hort Society tour on Sunday, April 3rd. All of these events are posted on the blog portion of our website. And if you want any questions on products, visit our website, southwestboulder.com. You can find us on Facebook or on Houzz. It's a great resource for images. Next week's topic is going to be, we're going to have a special guest talking about what's new in the desert. And if you have any suggested topics of interest, please email me at marketing@southwestboulder.com. Look forward to getting together every Friday morning at 11, and you have a great weekend. See you next Friday.